It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
AMBERMAY, that's fly. AMBERMAY, that's why.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May Show is here with topics you like out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm your host, Amber May. Thank you for tuning in once again to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am open for speaking engagements. If you would like me to come down and speak at your church or event, please give me a call at 602-296-3630. We all know fixing our cars can be very expensive. It's also hard to know who we can trust when it comes to auto repair shops. YourAutoNetwork.com takes the guesswork out of finding a reliable auto repair shop. Plus, they have Car Care Reward Membership Program that gives you discounts for all your car care needs. Plus, 70% of the membership profits go to support the Salvation Army. So you can put some green in your pocket and also help support our community. So visit yourautonetwork.com and use the code AM1 at checkout. That's Adam Mary, the number one at checkout. We have been talking about standards of God and standards in relationships and now standards in our country. The only way we can make this country better and to go back to what it was is if we follow God's standards. So today we're going to be talking to Reverend Steve Williams from Founding Fathers Faith Ministry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amber. It's a pleasure to be with you. And it is imperative, Amber, that we reach out and that we do things. There's so many things that people can do. Teachers that are Christians can help those that are immigrating to learn English. Instead of just complaining about people not understanding English, why not help them to learn? Start a class in your church. Maybe you're a CPA and you've got folks that are in your church that can't afford H&R Block or whatever the tax work might be. Offer that to to those people that are coming to your church and help them. There are so many wonderful things that we can do as Christians that are beyond just food.
That's true, because you're right. Our God is bigger, and we always tend to put God in a box, and we don't usually rely on Him like we should. And so if we want revival in this country, there's things that we need to do, and the one thing we need to do, like you're saying, is be an offering. We need to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. We need to give of our talents that we have. If your talent, like you said, is taxes, then provide it. If you have a talent of sewing, then maybe you can sew something for somebody. I think that's what we need to get back to, because it makes me so sad to see the country that I thought was so wonderful and great, and it is, and it can be, but it's not the way when I was young saw the country, and it really makes me sad. And the more older I've become, the more I realize that some of my rights have been stifled. I don't have the freedom of religion like we used to 20 years ago, or what we saw on TV 50 years ago. We don't have the right to free speech anymore. We have political correctness. We can't just say whatever we want. We'll get in trouble. We'll offend somebody. It makes me sad to see this progression that we've gone so far from God. And I know it makes Him sad.
It does.
And we're also supposed to be missionaries to the world to show them, hey, you know what? When you listen to God, when you love Him, and you do the things He asks you to do, He's going to give you nothing but milk and honey.
Amen.
He's going to provide for you. Why are we so afraid of the uncircumcised Philistines? I don't understand. You know, it took David, a 15-year-old probably, I'm assuming 15, he was young, guy to go up against a grown man that was a warrior. And he said, why am I going to fear that man? He's an uncircumcised Philistine. All you guys are wimps. That's how I feel the church is right now. They're all wimps. They're just looking at the uncircumcised Philistine doing nothing but sitting in the pews.
Well, one of the things that I see, Amber, is the secularization of the church itself. And that is that they have been buffaloed in believing that somehow that the Bible is politically incorrect, that it is filled with hate speech, and that it makes people feel bad. And I'm sorry, but the Bible is true, And Jesus said to go and preach repentance. And then once they are saved, to baptize them. The fact of it is that we can't be worried about hurting people's feelings because of what the Bible says. There in Ontario, Canada, you cannot put scriptures that are against homosexuality. We're talking about Leviticus and the Book of Romans, particularly. If you put the, if you rent a billboard and you put those scriptures up there, that's considered hate speech.
That's not far from this country.
Yeah, and that's where we are going here in the United States. Colorado has similar wording about passing out handbills and literature.
I know Flagstaff's been fighting some kind of ordinance. I don't know if it's quite worked out yet to where there would be such thing as hate speech if you just preach it in your pulpit.
Yes, and but see, it's we already see it in the more liberal nations.
Right.
This is why this clarion call has to go out. A brother in the Netherlands was the pastor of a small church, seated about 50 people, and in the Netherlands, you, of course, can't speak against homosexuality. He did in his sermon to homosexuals, videotaped it, took it to the police. He went to jail and ended up going to the Supreme Court. And at this point, a group from America went over there and presented their selves for service to him. They didn't get him off, but they did get it derailed for right now. And he is free, but he could be brought up on charges at any time. That's what our future is in this United States, where a minister, a pastor, could not speak the truth of the Bible. And if it starts there, you say, well, it's just about homosexuality. Well, if it starts there, then it will be those that are in adultery.
Right.
And those that are...
commit murder.
Commit murder, those that steal.
Yep.
And everything will be considered hate speech. There's already legislation that you will not be able to depict someone that's an adulterous relationship. This is in a county, I believe it's in Colorado, and if you depict them as being bad, then that is a speech crime. And see, the thing is we have freedom of speech, Amber, as long as it's not Christian speech.
That's right.
You can use profane language. You can say anything you want to, and people of their own race can call themselves horrible, invective names, yet Christian speech is hate speech, and that is, of course, not what this nation was founded on, and our founding fathers did not have that in mind for us.
No.
John Adams, second president of the United States. And I wanted to get this one in. I hope we have time
for
it.
Oh, yes. Go for it.
In 1798, he was talking to the 3rd Division of the Militia of Massachusetts in October of that year. He said, "While our country remains untainted with the principles and manners which are now producing desolation in so many parts of the world, while she continues sincere and incapable of insidious and impious policy, we shall have the strongest reason to rejoice in the local destination assigned us by Providence." That's capital P as in God. "But should the people of America once become capable of that deep simulation towards one another and towards foreign nations, which assumes the language of justice and moderation while it is practicing inequity and extravagance, and displays in the most captivating manner the charming pictures of candor, frankness, and sincerity, while it is rioting in rapine and insolence, this country will be the most miserable habitation in the world, because we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And if you want to know what's wrong with the United States today, that is what is wrong. Our Constitution was designed and crafted and builded for a moral and religious people, and no one else. That is why it is not working now."
Amen. Oh, my. That is so powerful.
And that's our second president speaking as though he were a preacher.
Exactly.
Rather than a president.
Yep.
And that's the problem that we've got now. We've got politicians that are as secular and non-believing as possible, and it's our own fault. We've voted them in. People have voted them in, and we've been warned by our founding fathers about how we should vote. They told us what to do. Noah Webster said, whether our religion permits Christians to vote for infidel rulers is a question which merits more consideration than it seems yet to have generally received, either from the clergy or the laity. It appears to me that what the prophet said to Jehoshaphat about his attachment to Ahab, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord, affords a salutary lesson. If Noah Webster, one of the leading proponents of Christianity at our founding, recognized that we needed to be careful who we vote for, and that we vote for those that are following Christ. Why? Because we don't want to help those that are ungodly and those that hate the Lord. That's what we've got to be careful of. And you say, Steve, you know, are you crazy? Have you went off the deep end? All I'm talking about, Amber, is what our founding fathers talked about and what the Bible says. And that makes us radical.
Sure does. I was kind of disappointed because a lot of Christians voted for President Barack Obama, and he goes against a lot of Christian values. And the one that really stood out to me was how pro he is for abortion,
yep.
How pro he is for homosexual lifestyle. Now, I don't hate any homosexuals.
Of course
I
not.
Just don't agree with the life that they've chosen to live. I've talked to one guy who came out of that lifestyle, and he said when he was in it, he felt miserable, but he didn't know how to get out because if he went to the church, he would have been hated on and people would not have accepted him. And so he stayed in it for a lot longer than he really wanted. The whole time he felt guilty, he felt bad, and somehow, I don't know his whole story, but he did get out of it, and it just makes me sad. So when you see people in the sinful lifestyle, we can't judge them. We have to love them, and that's the only way we can help them to get out of that part of their life where they feel encaptured, that they can't get out, that they become a slave, because sin is really becoming a slave.
It is. That's what Paul tells us. He says that we were slaves to sin. Now we are slaves to Christ. And that's the joy that we bring, Amber. That's the hope that we bring. We're not bringing bad news to people. We're bringing good news. And I agree with you about President Obama. A lot of Christians, if Christians had not voted for him, he would not be the president of the United States.
That's correct.
Right now. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, we're all free to vote for whom we wish. You better know we are free to do that.
Yes.
But the question is, are we voting our values?
Right.
And that's what we need to remember. There cannot be a disconnect. And, I'm speaking from experience, Amber. I'm talking about we cannot disconnect our values from our voting, because we're still a Christian when we walk in there. And you know what? No one else may know who you voted and how you voted, but God does.
Yep.
And we don't want to disconnect our values from that voting. And you know what? We don't want to disconnect our life from our values.
That's
true. I was talking to someone not too long ago that somehow with popular entertainments and with so much going on in the world, we disconnect ourselves from our values. And we disconnect. There are lots of Christians, and it's scary statistics about how many Christians are involved with internet pornography.
It's very sad.
Very sad. High addiction rates, both men and women.
That's
that
correct.
Are Christians.
Yep.
And there has to be accountability, and there are things that we can do to take that accountability to help people gain deliverance. But it's not just there. It's with television. It's with movies. And I'm not telling people what to watch and what not to watch. What I'm saying is, let's be careful about our values And let's make sure that our values are running like a stream all the way through our lives. Every aspect of our lives must represent our Christian values.
Has to.
Amen. Has to. Otherwise, we really are just giving lip service to God in some portion. We may not feel like we are, but if we're not letting those values run through, there's some portion of us that's just giving lip service to God, and He doesn't like that. He wants us to be sincere and true before Him. And that's how we get people saved, Amber. That's how we get them saved, is because they see the sincerity of Christ in our hearts. They recognize that we're true. And I was thinking about some of the great men and women of the last couple of centuries. Fanny Crosby, wonderful songwriter. And Eric Liddell, he was won the Olympic gold medal for the 400-meter dash in 1924. Devout Christian. I mean, would not compromise at all, even to the point that he was left out of some races and only got to run one. And that was not the one that he had trained for, because he would not run on Sunday.
Wow.
And he would not compromise what he believed to be the truth. And I respect people that do that. And again, I'm not talking about legalism. We're not talking about what someone else says. And that's the first thing that folks start talking about. Well, you're into legalism. No, I'm only talking about what God's talking to you about. And that's the key. What the Bible says, someone was mentioning that they voted for Obama, and you know, we said, you realize he's for abortion. Well, don't put that guilt trip on me. I'm just voting for him for president.
That's what I've heard too.
And that's one of the biggest dangers of what's going on right now, is this complacency where we just go along with the crowd. And that is scary, Amber. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk with you today and to talk with your listeners, because it is of the utmost importance for us to give God our full attention and to give Him our best. Paul called it our reasonable service, our full intellectual service, and to make our bodies a living sacrifice. And there are so many outlets. There are people that ride motorcycles, people that fish that are Christians and they have ministries. So many things we could be doing that are positive. There's theater groups here in the Valley that are Christians that produce plays, and we need to be supporting those outlets. Christian television.
Movies like Fireproof?
Yes, we need to be going to movies that are being produced and buying those DVDs that are Christian in nature. Get those. And go see them, buy the DVDs, buy those items, you know, the T-shirts. Put your money where our values are. I think that's the key. And I think the one thing, of course, that we have to get around is we've got to get out of this denominal flux.
Absolutely.
That we're in Christ's body. And you say, well, hey, look, I didn't agree with Fireproof because it was made by Baptists. And that's the most ridiculous thing in the whole world.
It sure is.
We have got to stop bickering between denominations.
Yep.
Because if that denomination is standing for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and if they're standing for forgiveness of sins and the basic tenets of faith, and they are, you know, there are denominations. I was talking with Reverend Peter Marshall, who's a Presbyterian. He said the Mother Presbyterian Church has literally done away with many of the tenets of the Christian faith. They accept homosexuality, homosexuals in the pulpit.
I know some Methodist churches are doing that too.
Yes, indeed. And that we don't want to agree with.
Right.
But let's agree with everyone that agrees with the Word of God. That's where we need to be. That's where our unity has to be. And the more unity we have, Amber, the stronger the body will be in this country and around the world, and we're everywhere. We're in every nation. I've got listeners to my radio program in Pakistan, in South Korea, in Hong Kong, in Indonesia, in Great Britain, in Spain. They're everywhere. We're all over this globe, and we want the truth.
I'm so thankful that I got to come across your interview and your ministry, because you're right. We have to take a stand, and we need to love the sinners, because that's where Christ went to. He went to the people that no one wanted. He went to the people that society threw away in the garbage. Churches are supposed to be a hospital for people that are sick, and sin is a sickness, and they can be delivered from it. It doesn't have to bound them. And when someone receives Christ for the first time in their lives, all of a sudden they feel so light. This huge weight that was on their back is now light, and they're happy and they're joyful.
Amen.
Let's give people some joy in this world. This world is full of misery, full of depression, full of hopelessness. Let's give people hope. Let's give people joy. So I want to challenge you to make a commitment. And if you want to help Founding Fathers Ministry, you can go to foundingfathersfaithministry.org. Pastor Steve, do you have another contact info for these people if they'd like to be a part of your ministry?
Yes, indeed. You can reach us at 877-258-0517, 877-258-0157. Of course, you can always write to us at P.O. Box 9465, Apache Junction, Arizona, 85278. Or again, just foundingfathersfaithministry.org.
So make a commitment today that your family will be a godly family. You're going to stick by God's standards, and that we're going to use our faith to works. We're going to do something. If it's our talents that we're going to give, if it's running for a political office because you're so frustrated that you want to see change, then go run. And let's lift up that pastor in, where did you say, Sweden?
Yes.
Let's lift him up in prayer today. Because he is carrying his cross for Christ. He stood up, and he knew the consequences of standing up, but he preached the truth anyways. So let's pray for him. Let's lift him up in prayer. And I just want to thank Pastor Reverend Steve Williams for joining me today. And I'd like to have you on again later.
Well, we would love to do it anytime, Amber. It was my privilege to be with you today.
It's time now for your Love Dare Challenge.
Week 6, we find that love is not irritable. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Love is hard to offend and quick to forgive. How easy do you get irritated and offended? Some people have a motto, never pass up an opportunity to get upset with your spouse. When something goes wrong, they quickly take full advantage of it by expressing how hurt or frustrated they are. But this is the opposite reaction of love. To be irritable means to be near the point of a knife, not far from being poked. People who are irritable are locked, loaded, and ready to overreact. When under pressure, love doesn't turn sour. Minor problems don't yield major reactions. The truth is, love does not get angry or hurt unless there is a legitimate and just reason in the sight of God. A loving husband will remain calm and patient, showing mercy and restraining his temper. Rage and violence are out of the question. A loving wife is not overly sensitive or cranky, but exercises emotional self-control. She chooses to be a flower among the thorns and respond pleasantly during prickly situations. If you're walking under the influence of love, you will be a joy, not a jerk. Ask yourself, am I a calming breeze or a storm waiting to happen? Why do people become irritable? There are two key reasons that contribute to it. Stress. Stress weighs you down, drains your energy, weakens your health, and invites you to be cranky. It can be brought on by relational causes, arguing, division, and bitterness. And there are excessive causes, overworking, overplaying, and overspending. And there are deficiencies, not getting enough rest, nutrition, or exercise. Oftentimes, we inflict these daggers on ourselves, and this sets us up to be irritable. Life is a marathon and not a sprint. This means you must balance, prioritize, and pace yourself. Too often we throw caution to the wind and run full steam ahead, doing what feels right at the moment. Soon we are gasping for air, wound up in knots,
and ready to snap. The increasing pressure can wear away at our patience and our relationship. The Bible can help you avoid unhealthy stress. It teaches you to let love guide your relationship so you're not caught up in unnecessary arguments. To pray through your anxieties instead of tackling them on your own. To delegate when you are overworked. To avoid overindulgence. It also exhorts you to take a Sabbath vacation every week for worship and rest. Meaning take a day off every week for worship and rest. This strategically allows you time to recharge, refocus, and add breathing room to margins to your weekly schedule. Establishing these kinds of extra spaces will place cushions between you and pressures around you, reducing the stress that keeps you on edge around your mate. But there's a deeper reason why you can become irritable. Selfishness. When you're irritable, the heart of the problem is primarily a problem of the heart. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Some people are like lemons. When life squeezes them, they pour out a sour response. Some are more like peaches. When the pressure's on, the result is still sweet. Being easily angered is an indicator that a hidden area of selfishness or insecurity is present when love is supposed to rule. Love says, share the inheritance rather than fight with your relatives. It reminds you to prioritize your family rather than sacrifice them for a promotion at work. In each decision, love ultimately lowers your stress and helps you release the venom that can build up inside. It then sets up your heart to respond to your spouse with patience and encouragement rather than anger and exasperation. This week's Love Dare is to choose today to react to tough circumstances in your marriage in loving ways instead of with irritation. Begin by making a list in your journal where you need to add margin to your schedule. Then list any wrong motivations that you need to release from your life. Ask yourself, where do you need to add margin to your life? When have you recently overreacted? What was your real motivation behind it?
That's been your Double Dog Love Dare.
If this program has been a blessing to you and you would like to help keep the show on the air, please go to theambermayshow.podbean.com, or you can write 2800 North 44th Street, Suite 100, Phoenix, Arizona, 85008.